Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us on Building Fortunes Radio. It's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. It's a Saturday night, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. on the Central side, and we are here every Saturday night at this time with Scott Johnson. This is actually Scott Johnson's radio show. And for those people that might be listening in, we have a guest tonight. I think it's a returning guest, if I'm not mistaken. Scott Johnson's going to introduce her. But for those people that aren't familiar with how this got started, a long, long, long time ago when we started Building Fortunes Radio, I wanted a platform to be able to pass microphones around to people that were doing things with home-based businesses. And I realized that many of us do home-based businesses as a career or a serious part-time thing, so we wanted to make sure that we understood the good, the bad, and the ugly, if you will. You want to understand the industry that you're in. If you're just doing it like as a hobby, or you're just a preferred customer buying products, or just kind of playing around with stuff, playing a little money game, then you probably don't need to know a lot about the industry. But I wanted to make sure the people that were taking it seriously, whether it's for health, finances, for their future, for their time, for whatever it might be, and we wanted to make sure we had this radio show. So I did a radio show with Roger Van Vlissingen, who is a big anti-MLM guy. Roger is one of those people that think that MLM, although on paper might be able to be done right, in practice will never be done right. So Roger's always anti-MLM. Well, he was writing for Seeking Alpha, which is a website, seekingalpha.com. They review publicly traded companies. And I did a radio show with him, and I believe he brought over a friend named E. Robert Smith. And as a result of those radio shows, Scott Johnson called me up, and he said, you know, I listened to those, you know, and they make some good points, but nobody's really talking about the tools scam associated with MLM. And it was the first time I had ever spoken to Scott. He had called me on Labor Day, meaning like a lot of people don't call on Labor Day because they figure we wouldn't be open, but I was talking to him for a couple hours. And during that part of that process of that phone call, I kind of asked him, hey, do you have a website? And he said, I do. And one of his websites is stoptheamwaytoolscam.wordpress.com. So that's when I knew at that time that he was talking about the same thing that I thought he was probably talking about, which was Amway and the tools scam. And when I was with Amway three separate times on a very, very part-time basis, as I was experimenting if I were to see if that would be a vehicle for me to be able to transition out of the direct sales business I was in, I realized that, you know what, Amway really focused on their, at least my perception of Amway, meaning the people that I was working with, they focused on the books, the tapes, and the functions. They called it the system. And the system was sacred. So I wasn't sure if Scott was talking about the system, but he said tools. By the time we started the conversation and ended the conversation, I knew that he was talking about the same thing I was thinking about. And I'm like, you're right. There's not a lot of people that know about the tools scam. The idea that people make a lot of money on the tools, meaning the books, the tapes, and the functions, or whatever else Scott's going to describe next, but they don't disclose that that's part of their income. So what they do by deception is they give you the belief that whatever they're getting is by whatever they're expecting you to do, which is build an Amway business, and they really just use you as a sucker, for lack of a better expression, to bring in more new people so they can sell them more new tools. So in essence, you become part of the scheme yourself, even though you're an unwitting victim, if you will. So we started that radio show. We do a lot of radio shows on our own, and sometimes we have guests, and they're always very interesting. And if you listen to enough of our radio shows, I promise, you'll pick up enough things where you will learn enough about this industry and the challenges of this industry where you will not be able to say, I didn't know that was even possible, because we cover just about everything there is in this industry. So tonight we're going to focus on the topics at bay with Scott and his great guest. So I'm going to say, Scott Johnson, thanks for being here on your own radio show.
Hey, Peter, thanks for having us again. And, we have a guest that's been on twice before, and she'll be joining us again here in a minute. And I just wanted to kind of expand a little bit on what you were saying. as far as the tool scam. And the reason it's a scam isn't because they make money at it. It's because they lie by omission, right? You can lie in two different ways, by commission. In other words, you commit a lie, or you can lie by omission, where you omit information, and therefore you give a false impression of the whole scenario by leaving out information. And that's what the Amway tool scam is. It's a lie of omission, because they make multiple times more. It's not just, yeah, we make a few more bucks on the tools. We're talking about anywhere. I've got on my websites different people who are kicked out of Amway that later on just start talking, and they mention, oh, yeah, I made twice as much on tools. I paid my emeralds and above 4 to 5 times more from the tools as compared to what they were making from Amway. I was making $1 million a year, or almost $1 million a year from Amway, and I was making $8 to $10 million a year from the tools. Those are some examples. There's several examples on my websites, and they're all from different decades, different lines of sponsorship. It's just all over the map as far as how far back this goes and how far, you know, wide it goes, so to speak, in different lines of affiliation. So it's dominant. You know, I wouldn't say every single IBO falls under one of these tool scam companies, but an estimate that was given to me by somebody a few years ago is it's at least 95%. So, yeah, there's exceptions out there, but my understanding and my belief is that they're very unusual, you know, in the grand scheme of things. So anyway, you know, back in our day, like you were saying, Peter, you know, it was books, tapes, and functions. That was the system. And so the upline would sell books for full cover price. And we know that if you buy, you know, a case or 10 cases of books, you can get them down. In fact, our guest is going to tell us what you can get them down to. But I think it's going to be like 1/4 to 1/3 of the cover price if you buy in quantity, which, of course, you know, these people that are owning and operating, excuse me, these tool scam companies, they do buy in bulk. And then they mark them up to full cover price. There's various meetings called functions, typically in Amway. You know, there's major functions, there's monthly seminars. The major functions are, you know, 3 to 4 times a year. The seminars are monthly. Then you've got open meetings where, you know, you can invite prospects in. Those are typically somewhere between once a week and once a month, depending on the line of sponsorship. So there's all kinds of meetings. And now in today's technology, you still have the books, you still have the functions, the meetings, but instead of cassette tapes like in our day, and I was actually bridging between cassette tapes and CDs in my time, it's now, I think, if not all, mostly electronic. So you've got phone apps, you've got MP3 and MP4 downloads. You also have things like voicemail, website access. All of these are basically profit centers for the people at the top. And typically the payout starts at around the platinum level, which is roughly 100 people in your downline, plus or minus. And then up from there, you know, platinum, emerald, diamond, double diamond, whatever, all of those people, particularly at the emerald and above, for most organizations, are making multiple times from the tools compared to Amway. And they don't talk about it. They're silent. Amway's silent. The closest you'll get Amway to admit is in the rules, and the rules say that some people make some money from tools. Well, it's kind of important who it is and how much, but they're silent on that. I think they gave themselves a legal out, so to speak, by saying, oh, yeah, we mentioned that. But they really didn't mention what's important, right? It's the amount of profit, and that's the problem. So anyway, that's, in my mind, I'm not a lawyer, but in my mind, that's RICO fraud. It's at least business fraud, because if you ask somebody to get into business with you, and I know our upline encouraged us to refer to them to prospects as either teammates or business partners, and yet they left out that information, that's not any teammate or business partner I would want to be associated with. So that's at least business fraud. It's not RICO fraud. And I know that our guest has a little bit more, actually a lot more legal background than we do. Maybe she can comment on that in a minute. Now, not all MLMs have tool scams. Some do, some don't. Amway does. I believe it's the biggest, most profitable tool scam in the whole MLM industry. To my knowledge, it is. The other big problem, I see it as either universal or nearly universal amongst MLMs, and that's the lack of retail sales. And what we're talking about there, when we say retail sales, it means when you sell the product or service, you know, depending on the MLM, to someone who's not part of the MLM compensation plan. So if your downline buys something, that's not a retail sale. It's only a customer, someone who's not, again, associated with the MLM compensation plan. And because the products are typically way overpriced, the amount of retail sales is very low. And the FTC in the past has gone after some companies, such as Vima and Herbalife. They both settled in 2016, and they kind of drew the line at 50-50. Now, both the FTC and those two MLMs agreed to this, that if you have at least half of your sales going to customers compared to internal consumption by the distributors, then you have a legitimate MLM. If you have less than 50%, you're an illegal pyramid. And that is the definition of an illegal pyramid. I know that some people, including Amway, like to say that, oh, we have products, so we can't be an illegal pyramid. And you just need to ask all of the MLMs that have either settled or been shut down by the FTC to understand that that's not really the criteria. Now, if you don't have products, you could be an illegal pyramid, but you can also be an illegal pyramid if you do have products. And so that's just an important distinction to make. So those are our two biggies. I don't want to take too much time. I do want to mention for just a couple minutes some annual news, I guess we could say, and that is Amway reported their revenue from last year, 2023, this past Tuesday, which I don't believe it was coincidental that it was on Super Tuesday. I think they were trying to bury the lead, so to speak, you know, waiting for the big political news instead of their news. And interestingly, I've been looking for this for a month or two, and it typically comes out around this time of year, either late February, early March. But there was a couple articles over the past month or two where, you know, Amway was kind of conditioning everybody that this was not going to be a good thing this year again. And so I was really looking forward to it. And certainly it is good news if you're concerned about people being scammed, because Amway's volume went down from $8.1 billion to $7.7 billion. And if you look at the peak year, which is 2013, they did $11.8 billion. So you might say, well, yeah, that's about two-thirds of what they did or three-quarters, you know, from 2013 to 2023. But when you correct for inflation, which is what you have to do to really compare apples to apples, Amway is now half the size that they were in 2013. So that's good news. That means a lot less people are being scammed, but it's not great news because there's still a lot of people being scammed, and that's why we continue to do this radio show and other things, is to point that out. Now, another interesting thing is in past years, they've typically done some kind of a press release or a press interview. There's been stories, different media companies, particularly, you know, the locals like the Grand Rapids newspaper, or online newspaper, and the Detroit business people. But there's been nothing about that this year. No interviews, no real announcement other than online. And so they're really keeping a low profile on this. It's interesting. Things are not good. I have to believe that. When you are now half the size you were a decade ago, no business wants to see that. Now I want to see it. I want to see it go even lower. You know, until they fix these things, until they fix the tool scams and the lack of retail sales. But you know, that's what needs to be done. So I'll stop there because I don't want to take up any more time from our great guest. We've had Megan on twice before, and she has given us some great information, and she's going to be giving us some more, I'm quite sure. So, Megan, what I'd like you to do is you can just spend a minute or two kind of reviewing, you know, your experience for people that hadn't listened to you before, so they can understand kind of where you're coming from, and then we can get into other things that we want to talk about. But again, welcome to the show for the third time, and go right ahead.
Thanks, Scott and Peter. It's great to be back. Yeah. So a little bit about my background with Amway. I got started when I was 20. I was just on the cusp of my 21st birthday, and I had all the brilliance that goes along with someone being 20, 21. But yeah, so I ended up just getting started because I wanted to find something wrong with it, because from the get-go, I had that sense of like, something's not right with this. Nobody just offers you an opportunity like this. What's in it for them? And so, you know, then being involved with it for so long, I was like, okay, maybe I was wrong. Maybe the world is a really good place filled with great people. It is, but this is a, you know, that's kind of a different topic. But I ended up being in Amway for 14 years. So I spent all of my 20s and part of my 30s in Amway. And spending a lot of money every month, which includes, you know, tools. And it was, that was interesting. But, yeah, so I had been part of an organization called Leadership Team Development. And that's one of the education providers that's supposed to be accredited by Amway, as if that's some sort of badge of honor. So 14 years of tools and a lot of regurgitated motivational talks and everything. So I actually left the business last June of last year. So it's been about 9 months and I'm free. So go ahead.
Yeah, and we know the common refrain when people leave, you know, they're quitters, they lost their dream, they failed, they're never going to accomplish anything for the rest of their lives, you know, they are going to just hang their head in shame until the day they die because they quit Amway. And can you tell us some of the things that you've been able to accomplish since you left Amway, Megan?
Yeah, so I actually I was able to take a good look, a good stock of my life and be like, okay, I'm not anywhere near where I want to be. So after having left, it's basically like I came out of the starting block. I was like, no more will I be pushed, you know, holding myself back. So I've published a couple books since then. Now they're coloring books, so it's not like they took months and years to write or anything. I am working on books that I'm actually writing, but I had to have some sort of creative outlet. And because I've always been creative, but yet I was always put into a box because that's what fit the tool scam narrative. If I wasn't, you know, just producing more and buying more tools and selling tools, then I was useless. And so, you know, any of your creative interests outside of that don't really fit in. And so as a woman, you're more sensitive to these things when you get scolded from your female upline about whatever it is, whatever, you know, wrong thing they invent that you did. And so I was like, I'm not going to hold myself back anymore. So if I want to do something, it's in my heart to do it, I need to do it. And it's as simple as that.
And if I can back up to the coloring books, because this really tickled me when I found out the theme of your coloring books. Can you talk about that for a couple minutes?
Yeah. So the first one, it actually needs to be, I'm in the process of hiring a graphic designer to make it better, because I didn't get my first copy until after it was already released, just a time frame issue. But that is about dream homes. So it's modern and mid-century modern dream homes. And all throughout the time in Amway, part of the tools thing is they sell you on the dream. And they're like, what kind of house do you want? What all of these little things do you need in your house, et cetera, just to get you invested in that dream so you buy more tools. And so I've always wanted a nice house, but I was like, okay, this is still part of me, so let's just make a coloring book. It's likely that there are other people who think the same way. And so it's modern and mid-century modern dream homes coloring book.
Yeah, that's great. Cause I don't know what Winters and LTD promoted, but I know I was in Jaeger for several years in the Jaeger organization, and we were very much encouraged to go out and look at homes, and not just look at them from the curb, but to go to places where, large homes and mansions were being constructed and walk through them, if no one was there, you just find an open door, window, whatever. You get in there and you walk around and you talk about it. And, you imagine yourself there. That's all part of the dream building, activity. We did the same thing with cars, really expensive cars and so forth. But I was just tickled when you, because I know we talked before that you had always been interested in, living in a large home, even when you were very young, way before you were 20 years old. And so this was sort of a thing for you, but it does fit right into the Amway dream building. And it just tickled me that you, wrote your first book like that to sort of do dream building. I'm sure you wouldn't contact, Larry Winters and company to see if they want to sell it into their downline. But the thought of it is just, kind of entertaining to me. And before we get off of this topic, how can someone find your books?
So they are on Amazon. Now you can actually just search my name, Megan J. Lanahan, and it's Megan with two G's, M-E-G-G-A-N. Now the one with the dream homes, it's currently not available because I'm getting, basically having that redone by a professional designer. But I do have a coloring book and gratitude journal combination that is available. And that's also on Amazon. Because throughout the whole process, and which we'll talk about the relationships part, but having lost several friends, I was like, okay, I need to just focus on what is going right and what I'm grateful for. And then, marry that with the whole, Zen feeling of coloring. And it's just like, it's probably a female thing more so, but it's super, it's really fun.
Absolutely.
They're available on Amazon, yeah.
Okay. But you haven't been just coloring books. You've been doing other stuff too. A couple of, pretty notable professional things, I think, that's been going on. And I don't think we've talked about this before, but I know you've mentioned in various posts and so forth, and I don't know if you got an engineering degree or you were just taking engineering courses, but tell us a little bit about that, as well as you went from college into the legal field, I believe. Can you talk about those things a little bit as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was first in college, I was studying engineering. And I got what's called Six Sigma Green Belt, and it's like a process improvement sort of certificate where you can, I can like say, just go into some company and look at their processes and see, okay, this is what's not going right. Here's what you need to fix. And it basically is saying that I know how to create a 500% return on investment for whatever process implementation. And so I got that back in 2010. And I, through the time in Amway, I was super confused as to what I wanted to do. And I bounced from that to international studies. And then I left college and then I ended up getting a paralegal degree. And so I now work in the legal field, and I have worked in the legal field for like 8 years or so. And in what I do currently, there's a lot of opportunity in the company that I work for. And so, you know, several years ago, I would have been a bad IBO because I enjoy my job and I enjoy the company that I work for. But who cares? But I actually am in the process of obtaining my black belt in that Six Sigma. So I have the green belt, and it's basically the black belt is like the master level of that. But it applies to so much more than just engineering stuff. So I'm able to use that in the legal field with where I work, because it's a legal tech company. So that's what that is. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's awesome. But you also selected a completely different program for something too. Can you describe that a little bit?
Yeah. So there's a leadership training program that my company has, and it's basically throughout a part of the whole like business. There's like thousands of people in this particular area. And they say it's super competitive, and they do this cohort twice a year, or they do two cohorts a year. And so I don't know how many people applied this time around, but I was finally able to apply. It's based on tenure and performance. And so I applied for it and was chosen, but there was only like 20 people chosen. But what the point of it is to develop leadership, being what you already have, and then basically making it even better. And some of the things that we're like right now we're covering the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And that wasn't really on the LTD book list, so I kind of hadn't read it in a long time. But my mom had a copy of it when I was growing up, so I'm familiar with the book. And then we're also talking about different, like another book that talks about leadership strategies and everything. But coming out of this program, they're basically, it's going to be like a pool of people who are like, okay, these people want to be managers. These people want to move up in the company. And it's not directly like that's only where they choose from, but it is like a really great feather in your cap for when those opportunities do come around. Which that itself, just being chosen, was extra validating, because I wasn't seen as a leader in Amway or LTD because I wasn't doing more of the scamming of people. I was just like, you know, I was attending everything. I was doing all the things, but I wasn't, you know, selling all the tools and stuff. So, you know, leadership is extremely subjective in that world. And so to be able to be chosen for something that's in the professional world, where people actually, you know, have a good head on their shoulders and they're not involved in a scam, it's like extremely validating for sure.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, the whole story of when you quit Amway, you're just a loser, you're a quitter, you're setting yourself up for failure the rest of your life.
Right.
Here's at least one example. We know there's at least one exception. Actually, we know there's a lot of exceptions, because all of that is just a mind game. That's all that is. It's unfortunate that more people believe it, because I think a lot of people just feel ashamed, embarrassed, and so forth, and therefore they don't speak up, and therefore more people get scammed. So I'm just appreciative of you stepping forward and talking about these things, because hopefully it'll help other people to also speak up. And that's what we need. We need more voices. As good as each one of us are at telling our own personal story, we're just one person, and we need more people to join the conversation and to tell of their experience, so that, the FTC in particular, and people in general, can see that these are not just exceptions. These are the rule. You know, this is the common thing that's going on. This is not a one-off that, you know, occurs occasionally. This is normal. And so the more people we have speaking up, the more that message comes across. So that's just great. I really appreciate that. And did you have anything else to add, or did you want to get in, like you referred to earlier, the friendship stuff?
Yeah, well, one thing I wanted to add, Scott, was that fear that you feel when you're deciding whether to even say anything, it's probably worse than the fear of actually leaving, because you see a lot of people who are ostracized when they do leave, but then it's even worse when they actually say anything, because then they're berated and talked about, like, for being negative and all these things, which I've had people say that to my face. And I legitimately messaged people who I was friends with, and I said, did you unfriend me because I left? And unfortunately, social media is a reflection of real life nowadays. So when that has happened, I wasn't afraid to actually say something, because I would, if I saw them in public, I would say something. But I'm also kind of a little bolder than most people, but fear of what are people going to think when I announce on social media that I've left. But I wanted to announce it because I wanted to take what little public image I do have and actually turn that around, because a lot of people for that many years knew me as, oh, she's got an Amway business, or she's going to try to talk to me about her little thing or whatever. And I wanted to set the record straight. Like, I'm out of that, and here's why. And I'm grateful to be out. But, you know, I mean, just the backlash that I got from that was, it was bad, but it was also just the most free feeling of actually being honest and talking about the problems with it. And I've been vocal about the dangers of it and the damage that it can do. And I want to be there to help people and encourage them to speak up, because just that fear of, you know, what are they going to think when I say something, it's enough to keep enough people silent that this can keep happening. So I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, that's really a good point. And you said earlier, you know, you joined Amway when you were around 20 years old. So, you know, you were very young, you know,
yeah,
very inexperienced when it comes to life in general, obviously. and it kind of reminds me of one of my first early experiences when I was in college, and I went and spoke to Admiral Rickover, who was the guy that was in charge of the Navy nuclear power area for like 30 years, which is unprecedented, you know, for a military guy to be in one position for 30 years. And he unceremoniously screamed at me and kicked me out of his office. So, you know, whatever happened after that was less than that experience. So
yeah,
that's what I mean when, you know, when I was 33, almost 34, when I joined Amway, that was one of my experiences. I mean, it wasn't fun at the time, and I look back on it now and it's kind of, you know, funny. But, you know, another experience I had in the Navy on board the ship was the supply officer, who was a lieutenant commander, was taking orders, you know, for stuff that people needed, supplies. And I said, well, I need some trisodium phosphate, which is just like soap. Basically, uh-huh, is what it is, and we put it into our water systems to keep the pH, you know, controlled and in the right range to minimize corrosion on the metal surfaces. And he said, "Well, according to my records, you have, you know, however many tubs of this left in inventory." I said, "Yeah, I do, but they're expiring, and I can't use it if it's past the expiration date." And he started screaming at me, "Oh, yes, you can," you know, and I said, "No, I can't." And finally it got down to the point, you know, because I'm just a lowly, I don't know, ensign or lieutenant junior grade at the time. And this was in the wardroom where other officers were around. And finally I just said, "Look, you just need to talk to the chief engineer, because I know what my chemistry manual says, and I know I am not allowed to use expired chemicals, period. You know, this is
right,
Navy nuclear power stuff." And, of course, he was not a nuke guy, and he didn't understand this. Now, in reality, that chemical was perfectly fine, but we're not allowed to use it. So those are a couple of the experiences that I had to where, you know, when this Amway thing came along, I had already experienced some of these kinds of things as far as conflict and so forth. So, you know, for me, it wasn't as big of a deal, but I know for you and many, many others, when you join an MLM, when you're much younger, and you haven't had a lot of life experiences, and they say, oh yeah, we're your friends for life, and you know, we're going to be your buddies, you know, for the rest of our lives, and then when you leave, it gets turned off, and that's really shocking. And I know you had some very close friends. If you can talk about some of the friends you had for a long time, and then when you left, they were no longer your friend.
Right. Yeah. Well, to start, my original sponsor, he and I met when we were 12, and he is still one of my best friends to this day. So I'm very thankful to also have, you know, the exception to that. And so he and his wife are like my brother and sister, and they're just some of the best people. So outside of that, though, there's a friend who I made who we went to day camp together when we were kids. So we were, I think I was like 9 or 10, and he was probably 7 at the most. And so we became friends. I've always been able to make friends with people of all ages. So it was like, it wasn't a big deal for me to be 10 and have a friend who was 7 or so, you know. But we became friends, and then we ran into each other as Crossline in the business. And then his girlfriend came along, and she was like, you're like a sister to me. And we were really close. They were even trying to fix me up with one of their friends in the business. And so that ended up not working, thankfully, because that guy is now deeply involved and, you know, just not going anywhere right now. But those two, when I left and I had posted on my Facebook about leaving, the girlfriend of the friend blocked me, and then the friend actually just unfriended me. Now, it sounds high school, I know, but it's a reflection of real life, especially as Crossline, when you don't, like, hang out every day and you don't have each other's phone numbers. When they just, you know, change their social media status regarding you, it's like, you're just trash now. So he was one that I messaged. I was like, hey, did you unfriend me because I left the business? And he was basically telling me it was because I was posting negative stuff. Now, I'm not one to just say, oh, yeah, Amway, this and that and blah, 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 blah. I'll talk about the dangers and the things that are wrong with it, but I'm not – none of the things that I post are without hope or anything. It's more of like, look at this information and know that there's better out there, or I'm really, really glad that I left, you know, stuff like that. But in the mind of an Amway bot, anything that is not glowing about Amway is negative. And so he took that to be, you know, whatever I posted, he took it as negative. And I tried telling him, like, hey, there's some really nefarious things I've learned about, which is a whole other topic itself. But, you know, and I tried telling him about, you know, the tool scam and some of these other things. And he's like, honestly, I didn't read that all. I just, you know, I'm just not going to engage with you on that and stuff like this. And I'm like, well, there's the ignorance that we all know and love. And so basically it was like, you know, he just effectively ended our friendship. And then there are several other people who I was close with who just never returned a message to me. They unfollowed me, unfriended me, including my upline diamond lady who I was close with. And she never said a thing to me about it. And it's just like, okay, we're just done like that. Like, you don't even want to, nobody called me and nobody asked me to basically understand what was going on. There are a few people who are, you know, we're still like friends on social media who are in my upline. And one even reached out and said, I'm really sorry if I ever did anything. And it's like, no, definitely not you. And anything that I posted about it was, I never said names or anything. That's not my style. I'm not going to point fingers like, oh, Susie said this or Johnny said that and did this and blah, blah, blah. It's just so high school. So I was just like, you know, this is the systemic problem because people are focused on the tool money and everything else. And, you know, it just speaking the truth really like cast out some people from my life. And I mean, I wish that hadn't happened, but at the same time, I'm not going to just stand by and let these kinds of dirty things just keep happening just to appease somebody. That's not right. I'm not wired that way. I could go on about that.
Yeah, because, you know, my own personal experience was I was born and raised in Florida. I went to college in New Orleans. Then I was in the Navy, you know, different parts of the world and so forth. Then I moved to Texas. And every time one of these things happened, you know, it was either a brand new environment where I knew absolutely nobody, or maybe, you know, one or two people that I knew before. But it was mostly just a brand new environment every time. And so I didn't have people with me in the Amway business that I had known for very long, because I had just lost track of all of those previous people, you know, in those various locations. And so it was a very different experience for me as far as, you know, not having those childhood friends being involved in Amway. See how,
right,
if you had those relationships that preceded Amway by years and years and years, that it's just a different dynamic. And Peter, did you have any comments or questions or anything along those lines? We've been hogging your line here. I want to see
if
you wanted to ask anything or make any comments.
It's obvious, you know, it's all good stuff. I don't remember a lot of Megan's first stories. So if she wants to give us a little bit of a refresher for those people that might not remember those either, because it might be the first time they're listening to this. But we're going to make sure that, by the way, we're going to make sure that Megan has a guest page on Building Fortress Radio. So you'll find Megan, M-E-G-G-A-N, and then Lanahan, L-A-N-A-H-A-N. She'll be on Building Fortress Radio. And while she was talking, I was looking up her stuff on Amazon and just amazed at the kind of stuff that she's done in the book that she's written, which is quite contrary, if you will, Scott, to the other person that we know that wrote a book with blank pages. Megan's wrote a book. I think it's got 141 pages. It looks like she really put some time and effort into this. So as opposed to somebody else who claims he wrote a book with blank pages, you know, write this down for those people that are just inside the scoop of the joke. But the reality was, Megan, I know what it's like to have relationships that all of a sudden disappear because, you know, you thought you had a relationship and then all of a sudden you realize it was just a business relationship. So there's feelings of, you know what, betrayal, you know, there's feeling of, wait a minute, was this ever real to begin with? You have to go back and it's almost like, what was that movie with Bruce Willis, The Sixth Sense? You got to go replay the whole movie backwards to say, what? Wait a minute, and then you doubt everything, which really sucks, if you will. And more than less likely, if that's what happened with some of those relationships, it was all about only the business. And either that or they're part into that cult-like, if you will, thinking that anybody that is no longer part of this inner circle has to be basically abandoned, or, you know, you got to expel them from your life. You can't have any part of them anymore, which is really a weird way of thinking things. So I guess maybe the first thing I'll ask is, you know, talk to us a little bit about that, the feelings that you might have had relative to feeling maybe betrayed or abandoned, or, you know, just kind of like a dirty feeling, like you were victimized or any of that sort of stuff, so people can really get a feeling of what you went through.
Yeah. Well, you pretty much nailed it, Peter. Those are the exact feelings, because when you spend especially 14 years in something and then you wake up one day and none of those people who were there for you are even calling you or texting you or anything, it's like, okay, great. Again, with the exception of my sponsor, but it's still like, wow. Well, it confirms suspicions. There's writing on the wall before those things really pop up. But it still doesn't take away from the sting of it.
Were you able to, like, I don't know if you've, I think I got the title right, but the movie with Bruce Willis, I think it was called Sixth Sense. I think, I don't remember if that was the one, but did you ever see that movie? And if you haven't, I'll let you go watch it, because it's a really great movie, but I won't spoil it for you. But basically, have you ever seen it? And Scott, do I have the right title? Is it The Sixth Sense with Bruce Willis?
I don't think I've seen that particular movie. When Megan mentioned her journal, I was thinking of our friend who quote unquote wrote a book that has completely blank pages. There's absolutely nothing in it, but he quote unquote wrote it. And the only thing that is in writing, to my knowledge, is on the cover where it says, write this down, you know, which is a common refrain, you know, amongst Amway and probably other MLMs, you know, when someone's making a speech from the stage and they're about to say something real important, they say, now write this down, right? Just to give it extra emphasis. I was thinking about that same thing that you mentioned, Peter, as far as a journal, which we know Megan has a lot more content than just blank pages. So
you got to check. I was a little bit I have to apologize. I was a little bit distracted because when you said you wrote a book that was available on Amazon, and of course you told us your name, I went there and I started looking. I'm like, wow, like this looks really good. I mean, this looks really, really, really good. So I think I'm going to get a copy of this for my granddaughter because she's right at almost, well, she is in the age range, and she loves to do things with art. And I'm like, what a great, you know, a great way to do something with it. So anyway, so if you see an order coming in, it's from me, from tonight. But the reality is I was just, you're welcome. But I just said, you know, she really put some time and effort into this. And it's a great thing. And by comparison, of course, the typical anti-MLM guru. And Megan, this is all an inside joke between me and Scott, because you probably don't know the gentleman we're talking about. But he charges twice the price that you do and has nothing in his book. It's a joke.
Oh, wow.
You see, it's a journal.
Talk
it's a journal
a
where you're supposed to write. Yeah, exactly, like a book scam, exactly. So anyway, so the reality is that it looks like you do some good work, but the thing that's really that I just kind of, I don't know how to say it because I'm stumbling over here, but when you go, because I'm trying not to tell you the story about the movie that I referenced because it's a really great movie, I don't want to spoil it, but the idea that you go through this for 14 years, you just time, money, effort, you know, all these things that you can't really replace, to the best of our knowledge, right? It's pretty hard to redo your life over again for those 14 years. And then feeling like there was probably a mutual relationship of many levels, you know, friends, you know, sometimes even confidential stuff, and you really think you're going for it, and then all of a sudden you step away from this for whatever reason, and now all of a sudden there's nothing. Like nothing. Like, oh my gosh, what was this all about? And that's just a shame. And I know that is such a big thing in the anti-MLM world. We call him the stupid one, you know, always stupid. He had such a negative experience because he was approached by an MLMer and basically he didn't join that company, and then he lost his friend. So I know I personally had an experience where after I was moved down to Florida, a friend of mine who was – I'm going to leave her name out of it, but she was somebody that was my assistant manager when I first started with Electrolux. And I always considered her a good friend because she was the one who took me out on my very first day. And I watched her, and she was my assistant manager. And, you know, although she went in a different direction later on and I went in a different direction later on, every once in a while we talk. And one time she called me up and she said, so what are you doing? And I just told her what I was doing. She's like, oh, so now you're going to get me involved in one of those things? And literally, that was the last time I spoke to her, period. Mm. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I didn't even say anything. Like, that's, like, so unfair. Why the hell are you doing this? So this whole MLM stuff, when it comes to relationships, really does either make them or break them. And when you think you've made a relationship based on the MLM that you were with, and then all of a sudden it's gone, it's just a different level of deception. So it sucks. And but I figured want to highlight that a little bit because, you know, that could happen anywhere. It could happen in any other job, too. I mean, not just here in MLM, but just the idea of those fake or false relationships really suck. And, you know, welcome to life. So you move beyond it, you're doing well. and you're not a total loser because you're not doing that. You know, that's the way they always try to make you feel. Like, if you can't do this, right, you'll be a total loser in life. You know, just throw dirt over yourself. You know, just throw yourself in a grave, throw dirt on yourself, and you're just going to be pathetic forever because you're not part of our deal. But if you want to kind of expand on any of that, you certainly can.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot that you said that absolutely is right on. And I have a friend who was a diamond, and I think you guys might have actually spoken to her, but she and I were talking, and she is, even though she's without the diamond income now, she is immensely happier. And I feel like that's a really good benchmark for us to look at, because it not everything that you need in life is going to be found at diamond, but they always say, like, that, you know, basically a diamond ship fixes most problems, or, you know, like, basically just go diamond and everything else will figure itself out. And, you know, they don't tell you how along the way you are basically making your existing friends feel like they can't even talk to you anymore because you're just going to mention Amway. I've actually lost a couple really good friends because I had talked to them about it, and they were extra sensitive to it. And I thought I was doing the right thing by just talking about it a little bit, not overbearing, but, you know, it's still something I think about. Like, I had lost a couple real friends because of that. But then, you know, the other side of that, those real friendships that I thought I built in the business, they were, you know, gone. And it's a way to make you feel disenfranchised. It's not healthy. And it's, you know, they say, like, the best things in life are worth working for. And yeah, but there's also a reason it's so tough. It just goes against your natural instinct when building friendships. And you're taught to think that that's the way it should be. But really, it's not. I mean, people typically don't want to hear about it, and those who do already have. But I was having a conversation with somebody else recently, and we were talking about how people in Gen Z are like, you know, I'm not sure about this. This sounds super sketchy. But because they've seen, you know, their maybe millennial parents or Gen X parents kind of lose friends over this same thing, and like, that's just not worth it. I mean, there's so many things that we could say about that, but I started this year feeling disenfranchised and disconnected because that support system that I had, that community that I had, basically just dissolved. And, you know, while a lot of things were going right and, you know, things are great, those were still feelings that I faced even 6 months later. And, you know, now I've, like, come to terms with it. Things have, you know, definitely changed for the better. But I mean, when you care about people and then those relationships dissolve, it's like, well, what was the right way? It can make you second guess for a minute.
Yeah, I wanted to just kind of expand on a word that you mentioned earlier, Peter, and that is, you know, having confidential discussions with your upline, because you are highly encouraged to basically spill your guts over everything, right? You're not supposed to really buy anything of significance without checking with your upline, for example. And they're trying to always figure out what your dreams are so that they know what strings to pull to remind you, you know, hey, you said you wanted this and so forth. And I think that's something that's very unique, you know, in Amway and probably other MLMs, where you do share a lot of sort of inside stories that you don't share with most friends, because that's not what most friends are interested in. And I think it does add another dimension to the significance of when you're cut off like that, and particularly when people are talking behind your back. Now, I really didn't care. I don't know if they talk behind my back or not. I really didn't care. But I do know that, you know, a lot of people do care, and they know that they shared a lot of things that were very personal with their upline. And now they're wondering, what they're doing with that information, you know, telling it to other people or just telling false stories behind your back and all those kinds of things. So I think it is, you know, a little bit more involved, so to speak, when you're having that sort of cutoff of a relationship in an MLM versus, let's say, a work environment, because you generally don't share those kinds of things in a job. You know, that's really kind of unique to MLM, and trying to, you know, get people to talk about some of their deepest desires and goals and all of those kinds of things. So, Megan, I don't know if you have any comments on that or Peter, but I thought that was a very astute word you used there, Peter, was that confidential, because that really does open up a whole new dimension from a discussion standpoint.
Yeah, and those tactics are extra culty. Not to sound like, you know, that simple, but they are very, very culty, because, like, I had heard of some of the tactics that the Nexium leader used, and that was definitely one of them, like, basically making or having people feel like they could just spill all their deepest, darkest secrets, and then, in a way, using them against people. Now, Amway does it in a little more covert way, to where the operatives don't even know they're doing it that way. They're just like, I'm trying to encourage my team. Most people are doing it with good intentions, but what they're really doing is using their deepest desires against the person.
Yeah, and it's interesting you brought up the Nexium guy, because he was actually in Amway. That was his first, as far as I know, it was his first experience with MLM. And then I don't know why he quit, but he basically developed – I think there was like a vitamin MLM. It was kind of small potatoes, but then he developed his Nexium organization, and that was really MLM-like as well, because people were able to promote the, you know, personal improvement courses to other people and get a cut of it, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, the whole idea of taking what he learned in Amway and then propagating that to his other MLMs that he developed. And of course now he's I think he's been in prison for around 5 years, so he only has about 115 to go. I think he was sentenced to 120. So
yeah.
His name is Keith Raniere. If you want to know about Keith Raniere, my recommendation is go to Frank Report. That's all one word, frankreport.com, and have at it. Now, Frank Parlato is his name. He's kind of branched off into some other stories more recently. But if you go on there and you know, do a search for Nexium or do a search for Keith Raniere, you'll see literally hundreds of stories about you know, that guy. And, you know, he was writing these stories way before he was arrested, before Keith Raniere was arrested. And I was following his website because I noticed the similarities between Nexium and Amway. And I thought, man, this is really amazing. And in fact, I even contacted a guy on Facebook one time who, I can't remember, I think he either sponsored Raniere or he got sponsored by him a long time ago for a very short period of time. He didn't really have many details, but he did confirm, you know, what I had found loosely, that Raniere was in Amway. And that was just fascinating, because the stories that Frank Parlato was writing about, it was otherworldly. I was like, this can't even be true. This has got to be fiction. But then when he went to trial and all the things that Frank Parlato was writing about were actually accurate, it was amazing. But that was another example, Megan, of, you know, basically an organization that takes advantage of people. And that's why he was sentenced to 120 years in prison. Because he took advantage of people in a different way than MLMs, in some ways. In some ways, very much similar. But that's, that's quite an example you brought up, because it really does illustrate a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Well,
no doubt.
The interesting thing about that gentleman, Keith Raniere, we did some radio shows on Building Fortress Radio with a gentleman named Fred Y. So Fred, and then Y is W-E-I-H. Fred Y ran Harvest America, and he knew Keith Raniere even before the consumer byline stuff, which was the one that he got in trouble for. So if you want to hear a little bit of history about Keith Raniere, you can listen to Building Fortress Radio, go to the guest, find Fred Y, or then you can find the Raniere stories before the Keith Raniere stories before NXIVM, like way before NXIVM. And the only reason why you probably want to listen to any of these things is because if you listen to the stuff way before NXIVM, and even the stuff where they were doing like groceries and delivery before Amazon, like a million years ago, you can see the evolution of the craziness of what happened with him, how they went from Amway to other stuff and then other stuff, and it actually led, if you follow the progression, into 150-year prison sentence for being a sex slave addict or whatever the hell he was or became, and all the other people that he had in between. So the reason why it's kind of nice to see, not nice, but whatever word you want to use for research purposes, the whole history is because a lot of those histories are being started today in some of the MLMs with this cult-like, if you will, behavior. And these are just future, you know, sex slave cult members facing 150-year sentences in the making. And it's like you can see them as they're being born. So that's a very big exaggeration with very large, you know, broad strokes and somewhat tongue-in-cheek. But the reality is you can kind of see how it happens. And it keeps happening, Scott. Like we've been talking about on your radio show, how these Amway stories, these aren't like Amway stories from 40 years ago or 50 years ago. They're Amway stories from, yes, 40, 50, you know, years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, boom, all the way down to, you know, we've had people that just got out a couple of months ago. So this is a live, living, breathing experiment on how this stuff works. So back to you.
Yeah, and Megan got out just last year. So, you know, people that say to me or to you, well, you guys haven't been in for a really long time. It's changed. That's why it's great to have guests on this show that have been in more recently so that they can tell their story, and then we can say, see, it hasn't changed. Sure, we've added the internet. Sure, we've added things like, you know, you don't have to pick up from your sponsor's house anymore. Those kinds of things have been modernized. But as far as the basic, how it works, unchanged. It really is quite amazing. And I would have to just remind everybody, because I've been mentioning this the last couple weeks, there's a video on Rumble that I acquired from somebody. I won't mention names. and it's of a guy by the name of Joe Markowitz. Now, Joe Markowitz is an interesting character. He's one of the top dogs in LTD. That's the organization that Megan came from. And it's led by Larry Winters, but Larry's, I think, had some pretty serious health problems recently. He, my understanding, he has not attended some of the major functions recently, which is unheard of. And his wife, Pam, has represented them, which is also unheard of because in Amway, females are seen as a lesser being. And the guy's supposed to be the leader. And if he's not there, it is significant. But Joe Markowitz is one of the main LTD guys. It wouldn't surprise me if he's actually running LTD right now instead of Larry, because I think Larry's health is not good. And so he's also the chairperson of the IBO AI currently, and the IBO AI stands for Independent Business Owner, which is what Amway calls our distributors now. And then the AI is, make sure I get the right sequence, IBO AI. So it's Association International, I believe, is the last two letters. But anyway, this is the sort of a committee that represents all of the distributors to Amway. You know, it's their lobby, if you will, to Amway. Now, it's the fox guarding the hen house, because all the people on the IBO AI, with probably very few exceptions, are tool scam artists. They either own or they're major players in the tool scams. So this is the fox guarding the hen house. Joe made a video recently, about 9 minutes long. It's on Rumble. If you go to rumble.com, look for the user TexText, T-E-X-T-E-X. That's me. In this video, Mr. Markowitz describes on two different occasions how the sole reason, this is his words, the sole reason that they have tools is to help the IBOs have successful businesses, you know, long term. And he does not mention the fact that he makes multiple times more from these tools than he does from Amway, although I am quite sure he does. So this is just part of the lying by omission. And what's great about it, it's, you know, a major, major distributor, IBO with Amway, just lying through his teeth twice on a 9-minute video. It's just remarkable how these people expose themselves, not frequently, but frequently enough so that we can see just what talented liars they are. Because if you listen to that speech and were not aware that they make most of their money from the tools, it was a very good speech. But once you realize they do, then it was a very bad speech. And that's, you know, what happens in Amway is almost everything that is said, whether it's the company or the upper level distributors, sort of has this element of, you know, legitimacy, correctness, whatever you want to call it. But then when you know, as Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story, and it's mainly the two things we mentioned at the beginning of the show, lack of retail sales and tool scams. Once you understand those two elements, then when you hear these things, they have a completely different meaning. They have a completely different idea that's being put across. And I think it's just amazing how these people continue to put their foot in their mouth, and I'm glad to advertise it for them. So, Megan, I'll let you make any follow-up comments on that you would like, and then we can continue on.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you mentioned the IBO AI, because I was actually just looking around on their website, and Joe Markowitz is now listed as a past chairman. And I think you said this once before, but he was on the legal and ethics committee, which is just, I don't know, it's funny because of the irony. We could speculate as to why he's a past chairman. I don't know. I know people who have theories, but there you go. And that's not like a term limits kind of thing. It's not like that. It's basically, I don't know how long they are supposed to be there for, or if it's a lifelong thing, but there are people who are on there like Vinny Pappalardo, and then some of the legacy Diamond kids who are on there that have been there for a while. So I don't know the story there, but speculate as you will.
Yeah, that is another aspect. I see this a lot on either Amway's advertisements or their online stuff. You see a lot of the second and even third generation kids of these high-level distributors, you know, whether it be Jody Victor, I think his son's name is Steve, and then you also have the Agers, you know, the three sons of Dexter, who really were running his tool scam for several years before he passed away, and are now sort of the front, if you will, of that organization. It is interesting. And I forgot that he is the past chairperson, Joe Markowitz, that is, because I did read recently that Vinny Pappalardo, I think it is. It sounds just like a mafia kingpin name, right? Hey, Vinny.
Oh.
What's going on, Vinny?
Oh.
It's just so appropriate. I think he's in New York, too. So maybe someone you know, Peter, from your beginnings in New York.
Yeah, Vinny Pops. Vinny Pops.
Yeah. So, oh, man. So, Megan, did you have anything else? Because I wanted to mention something else I came across recently that you might even want to make some comments on. In fact, I'd like your input on this. One is some of the new rules in Amway. It's really something, some of the new rules that are, I think, new this year. Some of them, I think, have been in place maybe for a few years, not a long period of time. But one of them is a brand new rule that I was actually told about, I think it was sometime mid-year last year, that this is coming down the road. Now, it wasn't official yet, but there's a new rule where when you join the business, and we're talking in the 2022 time frame, if it was before that time period, there's a new rule that says if you didn't have any retail sales or retail sales to a certain level, I can't remember the particulars, that you have to, in one of the next few months, have at least 60% of your order going to customers, like we talked about earlier, you know, people that are not IBOs. And I just cracked up when I heard that because I immediately was thinking, because I know how these people think, whether it's Amway or the upline, I was thinking, well, that's a pretty easy rule to comply with because all you got to do is not order anything for 1 month, right? We're only talking 1 month here, and sell anything to anybody. You know, it could be the smallest thing you can imagine. And then you have 100% of your volume for that month going to customers, and you meet the requirement. And it just seemed like such a, easy rule to get around. And it looks good, but once you realize how these people think and how easy it is to overcome, it's almost funny, you know, if it wasn't so sad. And I'm not sure, Megan, was that rule in effect when you were in? I don't think it was.
I really don't know. I never went without doing volume. So I really don't know. It sounds kind of familiar. But if it did, honestly, the people who were running the team that I was on, they never mentioned any kind of out like that. Like you know, don't do volume and you'll still be okay. There was never enough any of that. It was always do it, do more. So
right.
I really don't
right.
know that rule.
And I think you had a similar experience that I did. We were both taught by our upline to take some of our personal consumption in any given month, 50 PV, which is the minimum that you're supposed to have for customer volume. And the reason, or I should say the requirement of having 50 PV, which is in today's dollars about $150 worth of products, 150 to 180, somewhere in that neighborhood. But the purpose the impact of that requirement is you're not supposed to be paid any downline volume bonus if you didn't have 50 PV in a given month. So if you're bringing in, you know, let's say you have a small group, maybe you're bringing in $500, $1,000, $1,500 a month. If you don't do your 50 PV of customers, you don't get paid that at all. All that money goes to your upline. And if they're not a platinum and they don't have the 50 PV, it goes to their upline. And that's the way it's supposed to work. Now, I know from personal experience, Amway ignores that rule. They really don't enforce it. And certainly when you manipulate the computer as we were taught to do. It was a very low-key, nonchalant type thing, like, oh, yeah, we worked this out with the company, and they're okay with it. And, of course, back then I didn't even realize the significance of the need to have retail sales to not be an illegal pyramid. But that's how it was passed off to us as far as the 50 PV and how to be able to earn our downline volume bonus. And I think you were taught similar, right, to basically manipulate the computer.
Yeah, that's what was preached. Like, just order it all and then report it as customer. Because when
right.
I left, we had a rule where we had to have 70% of our PV be from customers.
Wow, 70%. Yeah, that's
never happened.
No, that never, I never, and you were on the show before, and this is one of my favorite stories because you were recognized at a large team meeting one time because you happened to have 80 PV instead of the minimum 50, and you were celebrated as, you know, the great returning war hero, so to speak. it just tickles me. Yeah, I mean, it's impressive from the standpoint that you did it because the products are so overpriced. If you actually had 80 PV of sales, I have a lot of respect for that. But, you know, to make a big deal about it in a meeting when it's only a little bit over the minimum is really quite revealing, right?
Oh, yeah.
When you realize that. I don't know if you were proud or embarrassed when that happened.
I mean, I was kind of, at that time, pretty into myself because that's what I was, you know, taught to be. So I was really proud of myself because, you know, I thought, ooh, maybe I'm going to be seen as a leader now, you know.
But, right, right.
Yeah, in all reality, now I'm looking at it like that is super stupid.
Now, was all 80 of that legitimate retail sales or was some of it the fake stuff?
It was all legitimate, yeah.
Okay. The much respect. But you only did it 1 month, right?
Just one.
Do you remember what the products were by chance?
I remember it was a lot of excess and then some double X and then some laundry detergent.
Yep.
Pretty much what it was.
The excess is the energy drink and the double X is the vitamins.
Yeah.
So. I remember we went 1,000 pin. Did you guys have 1,000 pin?
We had that.
Yeah, so I went 1,000 pin one time because I only did 1,000 one time, and it was because we used to have vacuum cleaners, and as you can imagine, like, you know, like their pots and pans and their air and their water treatment systems. Very expensive, and lots of PV. So we were able to, and I'm sure we had, I don't know, a couple of people in our business. So between us and maybe someone else bought a vacuum as well, we achieved the 1,000 pin. And like all good Amway people, even though we only did that level once, we kept wearing the pin forever. You know, as long as we were in, I shouldn't say forever, as long as we were in, we wore it just like everyone else did. And that's another aspect about the tool scam is I know my own personal upline diamond. I talked to him after he got kicked out. I said, hey, Bruce, you know, how long did you hold your diamond ship together? He said, oh, maybe a year or two. Then I was an emerald, you know, as far as Amway volume and profit. But because he was making at least twice as much from the tools, more than he was making from Amway, he could still support his diamond lifestyle. He didn't have to go back and get a job. And that's one of the really key things with the tool scam is how much it camouflages these people's business that they achieve one time, but then it shrinks. And when you're at an emerald and diamond and above level, it's important because – I mean, can you imagine a bunch of diamonds having to go back and get jobs again? How would that reverberate through the organization? You know, it would be a disaster, right? So that's just one of the to me, really important things about the tool scam is how it really does cover up the fact people achieve a certain level one time. They generally do not maintain it, but if they're being paid tool scam money, of course, I never came close to that, they can still have that lifestyle. And it's really, you know, misleading to have something like that. But anyway, that's one of the new rules that I thought was, you know, kind of a joke. Yeah, because, well, anyone can do 60% retail sales for 1 month. Just don't buy anything. Just sell one thing. Sell one can of excess energy. And there you go, 100%. Boom. You meet the requirement. So it really is something. Now, another thing I noticed in reading the rules, the new ones, is how particularly above the diamond level, for example, I'll give you an example. It used to be in order to be a an ECD, Executive Diamond Council level, that meant that you were at the diamond level, which is six legs over 7,500 PV, plus three more, a total of nine. That's how you become an EDC. But the new rules for all of the levels above diamond, as far as I can tell, instead of having to have so many legs, you can have other credit being given to you for having, I'll call it a deeper organization, you know, where you might have several platinums in depth, even though you may not have all nine legs to be an EDC, because you have enough of these other larger pins in your, you know, let's say six or seven legs in your downline, that you can be an EDC. And the same thing holds true for, you know, double, triple diamond, the crown ambassador, all those things. You don't need the legs anymore is what I'm trying to say, the numbers of legs, as long as you have other ways of meeting the requirements. And I think it's just, in my opinion, it's because Amway is going backwards, like we talked about earlier, and they're just trying to make sure that there's enough sizzle out there of people achieving new pin levels that people stay in longer. That's my take on it. I don't know what your opinion is, but that's kind of where I see that whole – and it's very complicated, by the way. If you read the rules, man, if you want to – if you're having troubles going to sleep, read the rules, because they'll put you to sleep. It is boring. It's very complex. It's really amazing what they're doing. Did you have any comments on that particular one? Because I had something else I wanted to cover, but I wanted you to give your input as well, Megan.
Oh, yeah, sure. Not a whole lot. It's just it makes sense. I've heard things from other people that I'm not really at liberty to share, that I know that the ship seems to be sinking. So it's kind of nice to see, just because maybe it's a little bit of a revenge feeling, but also it's mostly because I care about people. But yeah, I mean, Amway's not doing well, as you said before, and it's kind of nice to see it, but I hope that the collateral damage is minimal, especially for those who haven't done things with nefarious intent. But yeah, that's really all I have to say about that.
Yeah, and certainly, you know, I'm of a similar mind. I don't mind revenge, but really, you know, my main focus is on let's not have new people, additional people come in and get scammed. Let's put a stop to that. Let's, you know, let's limit what's going on here as much as we can. Now, I also recently gained access to all of Amway's current pricing, including what they call PVBV. And let me describe what those things are real quick. So PV, you know, which is point value is what it stands for, is a number. It's just a number that's associated with each product. So if it's a very expensive number, it has more. I mean, a very expensive product, it has more PV. It's a very inexpensive, it has less PV. And that's all PV is. It's really just a measure of the number of things that you need to have as far as volume in your business to achieve certain pin levels. For example, you have to have 75 PV to be a platinum. That's, you know, one of the requirements. There's other requirements in addition to that, but that's the basic one, is that 7,500 PV. Now, usually PV is constant, you know, because if you had to, let's say, I'm just going to make up a quantity here. Let's say you had to have 100 bottles of LOC, Amway's first product, liquid organic cleaner, to go platinum. It was called Direct back in those days. That you would still have to have 100 bottles going through your business to get to that level today. That's the idea of PV. It's sort of a count of the amount of stuff, not the price of the stuff, the amount of stuff. Now, there's another number called BV, which is business volume, which is usually approximately the IBO cost of that product. And, of course, over time, that goes up, right, as inflation, and we've seen that in spades the last couple of years, as inflation increases prices of everything, it also increases the prices of Amway products, and so you have a BV associated with that. And the benefit of that, of course, is so that when you have that fixed amount of products going through your business, that you're actually making more money because the value of the money is going down, and so you have to increase the price of the products and the BV in order to keep up with inflation. So it's just a dual, number assignment, if you will, to each product. And what was really interesting, and I have the numbers from 2023 and 2024 during that transition, what they did was they increased the PV, the point value of a lot of products, some of them by pretty healthy amounts, which really, you know, in the, I'll call it the ideal world, it shouldn't happen, right? The PV should be constant. If you had to sell 100 bottles of LOC in 1959, you should have the same 100 bottles today. So to increase the PV, to me, makes it look like, we blame the younger generation of everyone wins a trophy. And that's what it looks like. It looks like you don't need nearly as many products going through your business to get to platinum. It's easier. Now, the other thing they did was they maintained the BV-PV ratio, whether or not the price of the product went up, which is interesting because, like I mentioned earlier, that ratio should increase year over year, and particularly the last couple of years with the high inflation. Otherwise, if you maintain that ratio, you're actually paying out less to the IBOs, which means Amway's keeping more of the profit, I believe. So it's just really interesting how Amway is manipulating the PVBV and causing, number one, pins to be created that in yesterday's world would not have been created. And then number two, they're reducing the payout. And probably most IBOs don't know that. And certainly a prospect would not know that. But that's what these numbers show. It's just really interesting how Amway is really having problems with their volume. And it looks like part of what they're doing to compensate is to pay out less to the IBOs. Now, the upline doesn't care, right? The Larry Winters, all those guys at the very top, because they're making multiple times more from the tools than they are from Amway. You know, Amway can do whatever they want with the product bonus, and it's just going to be a rounding error for their profit. But for your, lower-level IBO, it's a real impact on how much money they can make for a given amount of results. So I don't know what your impression of that is, but it's really interesting to me.
It's 100% not surprising either.
Yeah,
they always,
exactly.
They always talk about the IBOAI being like their hero. Like, we've negotiated better terms for the IBO. We're in your corner, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, when the company hit financial issues, such as, you know, being about half of the sales that they were a few years ago, it's like, oh, okay, now we know who's really important here. So,
exactly. Exactly. Well, Megan, we're up at the end of our time here. Was there something that we didn't talk about that you wanted to talk about, either you were thinking about before the show or during the show, that for some reason we just didn't get to?
I don't think so, Scott. I think I've my mental list is cleared out.
Great, great. And Peter, I'll let you have any last words and let you sign us off of this terrific show. Megan, appreciate you coming back. This has been just a third really enjoyable show with all of your facts and your perspective. Really appreciate you coming on and you know, filling out the story, as they say. Peter?
Excellent. Okay, good. So for those people listening in, go check her out. If you go to Amazon, you could look for Megan, M-E-G-G-A-N, the initial J, and then Lanahan, L-A-N-A-H-A-N, and check out that book. She might have the other one in stock by the time you might be looking in. But I bought the book for my granddaughter, the coloring book with the wonderful floral things. I can't wait. It's going to be so cool. I'm going to give it to her for Easter. Be kind of a nice, neat gift. And anyway, so we're here on Building Fortunes Radio. For those people listening in, Scott Johnson's available. If you go back to buildingfortunesradio.com/Scott-Johnson, you'll be able to hear those radio shows. If you go to the guest page on Building Fortunes Radio, Megan is going to have a guest page as well. So you go to buildingfortunesradio.com, look for the guests, type in Megan, M-E-G-G-A-N. You'll find it right there. And we'll make sure this hooks up to I'll find the other radio shows you've been on, Megan. I'm not sure if we had them defined by name or not, but we'll do that as well so people will be able to get a little bit of this history. And for all those people listening in, we want to say thanks for listening in. And, Scott, why don't you close it up by giving your website one last time, and then we'll call it a radio show. And happy daylight savings time for those people that are wondering. Yoo-hoo, got to like it. Light or longer.
Yes, remember, 2 a.m. tomorrow morning, early tomorrow morning, wake up and move your clocks forward 1 hour. Unless you're in Arizona, they're on permanent, I think they're on permanent daylight savings. Good for them. I hope we do that nationally. But, yeah, I've got three websites. I've got a YouTube channel, the link to this radio show, in case you don't remember what Peter just said, as well as my email, my phone number, all of those things is on my Facebook page. Also, the lead story on my Facebook page is my response to the FTC's request for input on product claims and income claims back in May of 2022, which I haven't heard anything yet, but, you know, the wheels of justice grind slowly. So anyway, that's all on my Facebook page, as well as that link I mentioned before on Rumble. That Joe Markowitz video is right there on the front page of my Facebook page. So it's facebook.com/ScottTexJohnson. That's ScottTexJohnson, all in one word. All those links are there. Peter, Megan, thanks, and we'll see you again next Saturday.
Perfect. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Megan.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.